No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We've got some union questions. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
Always ready to take on the man.
Absolutely.
We have got some good ones this morning. Someone said, I need to use my boss as a reference on my CV, but I don't want them to know I'm looking for new jobs. Am I allowed to put them down as a reference without telling them?
This is always like a tricky situation, and I think everyone will have kind of different advice, but just from my perspective, I don't put my references on my CV. I advise that references are available upon request, and I generally would want to have a job offer before I give a reference so that I can, you know, have some kind of stability mm-hmm. before I ask my boss for a reference. I think that's probably the best way to go about it because, yes, you know, it is an awkward situation and you don't probably want to tell your boss until you know you've got something lined up.
Mm.
For a reference, I would just advise that your references are available upon request, and you know, oftentimes you'll get offered a job, but it'll be contingent on references.
Yeah.
So you know, then you would advise your boss then.
That seems like a sensible route. We've also gotten a question here from someone who said, I've been given a formal warning at work for something that I believe is unfair. What can I do about that? Can I appeal it?
So I'm concerned to hear that, because I mean, from the sounds of it, a just process, a fair process, when you were going through sort of a disciplinary process, so say you were accused or you were alleged to have done something wrong, and then they should always invite you to a meeting to hear your response, mm. give you a preliminary outcome, and then give you the opportunity to respond to that. So that's
right.
You know, like a really important part of that. So if you feel it's unfair, and then you can suggest other outcomes that you think would be more fair. So it's concerning to me that it sounds like this person wasn't given that opportunity to respond.
Hmm.
And I think that if you feel like you haven't been given an opportunity to respond and that it is unfair, you should say, look, I'd actually like to appeal this and come up with a response. But again, like, this is something that I wouldn't want to go through necessarily without a delegate or a union organizer or just a support person mm-hmm. there with you, because you need someone who has some familiarity with how these processes should be run,
right?
Just to give you some help, I would say,
and let you know what you can and
can't do,
and can't do in that situation. That sounds like a tricky one. Somebody has said, I've signed a contract for a new job, but I misread the contract termination period and now I want to renegotiate it. Am I allowed to ask to do that?
So you're absolutely allowed to do it, but this person is right. This is a renegotiation, so you've signed a contract.
Okay.
And what you're asking for is to enter into another negotiation to essentially change that contract. So you're totally allowed to, but they can also say no, and they'll be, and you know, like, then you'll have a choice of whether you want to accept that contract or not, and that'll be up to you. But you're absolutely allowed to renegotiate a contract, but it has to be by mutual agreement.
So if someone is going into signing a contract, are they allowed to get someone to give them a second opinion before they sign it? Is that pretty standard practice?
Absolutely. I would advise people that they should.
Mm.
Yeah, like give it a good read and have a second pair of eyes on it as well. Know what you're looking for, you know, in terms of like leave provisions and notice and things like that. So just have like a set of bullet points of what you need to like watch out for, you know, so in terms of like notice period and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would advise that you should always get someone else to look over it.
Excellent. And would a union rep be able to look over something like that for you?
I absolutely. But I know it's sometimes difficult to contact union reps, like to do that in a timely manner. So if you know the like delegate of a workplace, that would be a really good place to start.
Okay.
And even a friend, to be honest, just like a second pair of eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes really good. Yeah.
Just to catch anything you might have missed. Our last question this morning is someone who said, I'm a student and my employer wants me to work more hours than my student allowance allows me to do. What can I do? That's a really tricky one.
So I need to know, I guess I would start with a couple of things. I need to know how many hours is in this person's contract. So if you have a set amount of hours in your contract, they can only change your hours by mutual agreement. So if you don't agree to working any more hours, they can't force you to work there because right. That's your contract. So they're trying to change your contract, right? So you should be able to say no. So if you for a period of time, say more than 6 months, worked a certain amount of hours, and then suddenly your boss wants to change that, again, that needs to be by agreement. That can't just be like a decision that your boss makes, because your hours are negotiated by agreement, mm-hmm. and there is a pattern of work, and they can't just suddenly change your pattern of work, because people have things that they need to do. This, you know, it's you can't just have like the boss just making unilateral decisions on your hours, because for a lot of people they have childcare commitments, mm-hmm. you know, studying, things like that. So it has to be by agreement. And so I need to know, I would need a bit of more information. But if you've been regularly working those hours, or they're in your contract, no, your boss cannot just change your hours, and you can decline that. And you could just say, look, I'm because of my student allowance, I won't be doing that, because that's going to negatively impact me financially. It's not worth it.
If you're a casual contractor, for example, and you are just working similar hours, that we've talked about this before, that kind of works out as your hours, is that right?
Yeah, so if you've got a pattern of work, casual makes it a little bit more complicated, but if you've been regularly working, say, more than 10 hours a mm-hmm. week for like a year, and you're a casual, and then suddenly your boss is like, well, you have to work 20, you can decline that. The whole point of being casual is the flexibility on both sides.
Right.
So it's not just you that has to be flexible, but it's the boss as well. That's why you're a casual.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of being a casual is you can decline work. So you should never feel in a position that you can't decline work as well. Yeah.
Well, there we go. I hope that was helpful for you, texters. I certainly found it very interesting. Thank you, Justine.
No worries at all.
We'll talk to you again. Yeah, you too. We'll talk to you again next Monday. And if you guys have more questions, send them through on 5395. See you then.
Cheers. Bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.